To 1 John chapter 4. And our sermon text will be verses 4 through 6. 1 John 4, 4 through 6. And if you're willing and able, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. My dear ones, receive by faith the word of the living God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And may God bless the public reading and hearing of his word. Please be seated. In your bulletin, if you find the sermon outline, there you'll find the truth taught. And the truth taught this afternoon is this. Though often assailed by false prophets, God's little children may rest in comfort and assurance, knowing that the Spirit who dwells in them is greater than the Spirit at work in the world. Now, on this Lord's Day, we've considered already the evidence of Christ's love for his people. And how this morning we considered the love of Christ for his people as evidenced in the institution of baptism, which is a lovely display of the gospel before us. And yet that evidence of Jesus' love for his people continues this evening. One more evidence of Jesus' love for the saints is that he teaches them through his word how to pray. And we know this prayer as the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is to be a prayer prayed, but it is also to be used to model our own prayers. And as you think about the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer, you'll remember the one which says this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now we say this prayer, this petition, time and time and time again. But I'm always struck by this petition because as we understand it, it has deep and profound ramifications for our spiritual life, in particular, ramifications for how we engage in spiritual battle. And so our own Westminster Shorter Catechism explains that sixth petition in this way. It says, in the sixth petition, which is, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we pray that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin or support and deliver us when we are tempted. The reality of this sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer is that it assumes a spiritual, hostile reality. We live in a world where we are threatened by unseen spiritual realities even on a daily basis. Throughout the centuries, the church has always recognized the enemies of God's people as being Satan himself, the unbelieving world and its oppressions, and both working through the sinful desires of the flesh which remain. We are engaged in spiritual realities. There are unseen realities which threaten our very lives. But from a place of love for you, Christ has provided you with a model prayer to be used in engagement with that spiritually hostile reality. And one of the lovely truths about this is that the Apostle John understood this. He learned from Jesus himself that we are engaged in this spiritual reality that threatens our very life. And because of this, there was no doubt that this reality was also important to the Apostle John. For we understand that he understood this reality when we consider 1 John 4, verse 1. Do you remember what he wrote there, my dear ones, when he said this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God." Why? because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He admits of many spirits, teachers, communicating a deadly message that have gone out into the world. And these false prophets operate by the spirit of the Antichrist, as we learned earlier. And this reality itself is frightening. For as we learned last week, there are frightening and terrible teachings from the pit of hell that threaten our very soul should we be deceived by them. John is concerned for the saints, and he is concerned for their spiritual well-being. That reality has not ceased, my dear ones. You are engaged in spiritual battle even as we speak. And this is frightening. And it's frightening because it's so dangerous. There are so many things to deceive God's people. And yet, however frightening and dangerous this may be, the Apostle John wanted his readers to understand that there exists comfort and assurance for the Christian living in this hostile world. And not only the Apostle John, but the Holy Spirit wants you to understand this. And so we read in verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Who is them? Those false prophets by those evil spirits that have gone out into the world. And why can he be confident of this? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Here we see a great source of comfort and assurance for the little children of God. And don't we love this? We understand this. We were little children once, and if you are a little child now, you understand this. How loved and comforted and safe do we feel when our moms and dad assure us of their protection over us? And so we, as God's people, His children, we can be assured that He protects us as well. So as we consider these things, three points of introductory exhortation. The first is this. My dear ones, do not forget that the world is filled with devils of all kinds. It is filled with devils of all kinds. False prophets, false teachers, deceptive messages, all of this is out in the world ready to deceive. Don't become naive about the way the world operates. And it's especially dangerous because the way it operates is in a deceiving fashion. That doesn't sound quite right. It may be even appealing, but so is the fish bait to the fish. So is the trap to the bird. The hunter will have his prey. Don't be deceived. This world is filled with devils of all kinds. But number two, don't forget that Christ has put those devils to open shame. We read from the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2, 13 through 15. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out all the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Here is the core of this comfort and assurance that Jesus Christ Himself has conquered the powers and principalities. That He Himself has put to open shame those devils which are in the world. And not only has He done this, but He has poured out His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ, as a divine warrior in the hearts and soul of His children. There's comfort and assurance in that. And number three, remember, in Christ, as beloved children of God, you are meant to have comfort and assurance, even in a world filled with corrupt men and wicked devils. You are meant to have assurance. And it is by God's grace that you are here this afternoon. This is why it's important to observe the means of grace, why it is important to not neglect them, because it is here we are reminded of these things together as a body of believers, gathered with our children to hear the word of God proclaimed. So then, as we think about these things, I'd have you to consider the following 2 points. Point number one, you are of God, little children. You are of God, little children. And here, in case you haven't noticed, this is the exhortation of comfort from the Apostle John. He says in verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Just think about what he is saying to you. You are of God, little children. You belong to God the Father. And because you belong to Him, and because of the life and death of His Son, you have overcome those wicked men and evil devils in the world, because there is one in you greater than the one who is in the world. This is a mind-numbing and mind-blowing concept. Do we ever think about this reality? That we have communion with the living God, and that the Spirit of the living God dwells in the hearts of His people. You see, in a world where false teachers, led by the spirit of the Antichrist, threatened the well-being of God's people, there is still comfort. And there are at least 3 things to note about the comfort provided here in the words of the apostle. The first is this: you are of God, little children. In other words, he's addressing these little children who belong to God, those who have been born anew from God. Christians, as we are told historically, were initially referred to as little Christs. And it was a derogatory term. And yet it was so appropriate, because to be little Christs assumes that we have become partakers of the divine nature. These little children are those who have become partakers of the divine nature, as the Apostle Peter says. Or we might say it in other ways. We might say here that Christians are born again. Christians are born from above. Christians are new creatures in Jesus Christ. And as John will say in chapter 5, verse 1, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him." And isn't this the message and how we distinguish the spirit of the Antichrist from the spirit of God? That those prophets who teach that Christ has come in the flesh is of God, but those who deny it are not of God? And here, how can we be assured of the children of God but those who believe that message? Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, born of God. We are born of God in Christ. And what this means is exactly what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You are of God, little children. You are partakers of that divine nature, made like Jesus, renewed, restored, born again. And because of this, we can have hope and comfort. But also we see from the apostle number 2, he says, "You have overcome them." You have overcome them. Now this too is a comforting word of assurance. This does not diminish the existence of the false prophets, nor the reality of their godless message. In fact, it may be the case that as the days go on, their godless message only becomes more potent, more deceiving. So this does not diminish the existence of false prophets, nor the spirit of the Antichrist, but it does mean that they cannot and will not prevail against God's children. That's the hope here. These little children, these little Christs, are under the protection of King Jesus, the one who occupies the great throne of heaven and earth, the one who will conquer all his and our enemies. And the great word of comfort here is that in him you have already overcome them. And that will be the reality from this day forward. But in case you need any more evidence of the comfort that you can have, there is an explicit reason given to solidify this judgment of the apostle. And this is number 3. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Matthew Henry summarizes this just by saying, there is a strong preserver within you. The Apostle Paul says it more clearly when he says in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And do you see the doctrine that the Apostle Paul is communicating? Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts. This is the beautiful and wonderful doctrine of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And to be a child of God is to be born from above, and to be born from above is to be born of the Spirit. Jesus in John 8:34-36 said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And here Jesus reminds his people that in him they are free from the bondage to sin. And so too, we've been given the Spirit of Christ himself dwelling in our hearts. We are free from bondage to sin. And when Satan would seek to terrorize us, we have the sure hope that Christ has put him to open shame. We have the sure hope that Christ himself will conquer all his and all our enemies. For again, as Matthew Henry says, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and that Spirit is more mighty than the men of devils. In fact, I can't think of a greater spirit that is in us than the Spirit of the living God. He who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, who works upon the heart of fallible and finite men. But he who works in you and is in you is greater than the spirit of the Antichrist that is in the world. And so what are we to conclude from this? Well, just as John himself has said, you are of God, little children. And that is no insignificant statement. You are born of Him. Rest in the comfort of knowing that He who is in you is greater than He who is in the world. There is the source of comfort. There is the source of comfort. The enemy cannot and will not defeat God's children. That is a great comfort. Is it not? And we think about this in light of all the things that we face in this life. Things that are in our control, are outside of our control. All the pain and the misery that we cause for ourselves. All the pain and misery that we experience causes not from ourselves. All of these things Satan and the world can work upon to stir up that desire of lust in our flesh for other things. And yet, even when that happens, Christ is quick to remind us that He has lived and died for us. What a glorious reminder that is. And not only that, but everything that we have seemingly lost in this life, we have never really lost, but they are all made up in Him. Do not let the world tell you otherwise. Do not let Satan and all his tyrannous acts cause you to disbelieve this. But this is the comfort that we have in Jesus Christ. Now that brings us then to a word of assurance. And this is point number two. How to identify the spirits of truth and error. How to identify the spirits of truth and error. And so to provide a sense of assurance, the Apostle John wrote in verses 4 through 6, "They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now, thankfully, the children of God are not left without a way to identify those false prophets in the world. And in addition to the anti-Christian message they preach, the apostle provides a sure hope that by God's grace, his little children will not ultimately be deceived. And that is the comfort and assurance that ultimately the children of God will not be deceived. But why will they not be deceived? And that is the important question. Where is the assurance that comes from this? Well, the first thing to say is this. False prophets are of the world, and they speak as of the world. False prophets are of the world, and they speak as of the world. Now again, in 1 John chapter 2, John warned his readers about them. In verses 15 through 17, he said this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Now here we learn something about the world. Right, all that is in the world can be summarized in this trinity of unholy lusts. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those false prophets who preach this anti-Christian message and those who would believe them are of the world. The Apostle Paul describes these false prophets in this way in Philippians 3, 18 and 19. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." So we can identify these false prophets and those who would follow after them by looking to what it is they love, to where their treasure lies. And as Matthew Henry notes, "The spirit that prevails in them leads them to this world. Their heart is addicted thereto. They love the pomp, the pleasure, and the interests of the world. They profess a worldly Messiah and Savior. They project a worldly kingdom and dominion. The possessions and treasures of the world would they engross to themselves, forgetting that the true Redeemer's kingdom is not of this world." And so we can identify these false prophets, and we can identify their followers because they are attached to this world. Now think about that for just a moment. How often are we inundated with that message? Whether it be on television shows or movies, or now in the ads or commercials if you have streaming services, right? How often it is that we are being presented with the goods of this world. If you have this, you will be happy. If you look like that, you will have all things. These are the messages of the spirit of the Antichrist. Corrupt men whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things, finding in these things gods that will never satisfy. And any teacher or teaching that takes your eyes off of Christ and places them upon the world is of the spirit of the Antichrist. And because these false prophets speak as of the world, therefore, those who belong to the world hear them to their own destruction. This is not the path of God's little children. God's little children hear Him. But those who hear the voice of these prophets set their mind on the things of the world to their own destruction. Now, why is that a word of assurance for us? Well, I think it becomes clear when we pair it with number two. The opposite reality is that God's children hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. God's children hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And we read in verse 6, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us." And again, remember what I think is the core beauty of this section of Scripture. Is the truth that the one that dwells in you is greater than he who is in the world. And who is the one that dwells in you but the Spirit of the Good Shepherd? The one that the Good Shepherd himself has poured out to dwell in the hearts of his people. The Spirit of Christ in you bears witness to your heart that Jesus is the Great Shepherd. He is the one that makes us to hear the voice of Christ. He is the light of Christ shining into the darkness of our heart to bring light and life to men. And what the Spirit of Christ does in the heart of man brings them to life for enables them to hear the voice of their shepherd. This is why, again, Ezekiel 36 is so important. Because what does God promise? "I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Or how about Jesus in John 10 when he says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Jesus here reminding his disciples and reminding the people of the greatness of the Father. That those whom he has called to himself to follow Christ will not perish. And of course, Jesus himself in John 14, what does he say in verses 16 through 18? "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And perhaps one of the most lovely expressions of Jesus Christ is how he concludes this. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Now, do you see what Jesus was saying? Jesus is reminding his disciples that the Father has loved the people in him from before the foundation of the world, and they will not perish. And on the other side of this, he says, "And there is another who will come to you, a helper. And he will dwell with you and will be in you. And this one is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth from heaven that the world does not know. The world cannot receive him. But you do." And Jesus is saying in this way, "I will never leave you alone. I will never leave you as orphans. But I will come to you." And do you not know that where the Spirit of Christ is where Christ is also? He who is great in you is greater than he who is in the world. This is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ poured out. And so it is with the aid of that same Holy Spirit that the Christian can utter the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer and rest assured that God will be with him. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And in this way, we see the great exhortation of comfort and assurance by the Spirit's indwelling presence and witness to the Christian heart. In other words, this is the Holy Spirit reminding you, my dear ones, through the writings of the Apostle John, that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And that's where our consolation lies. that the Spirit of the living God has been poured out. It is He who dwells in you. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love dwells in you. And so then, what do we know about how this Spirit of the living God operates on the hearts of men? Well, just as we talk about frequently, we talk about the means of grace. The ordinary means of grace are those ordinary means by which the Spirit of God works in and through to work on the heart of men. And so the exhortation this evening is just that, to observe the means of grace. How are we to be reassured of God's love for us? Continually observing the means of grace. To sit under the preaching of God's Word, to see the sacraments administered, and to pray together and in the fellowship of the saints. These are all means that God uses to solidify our faith and strengthen us in light of the opposition of the world and of Satan. Observe the means of grace, my dear ones. Do not neglect them. But as we conclude, you should also consider this admonition. Again, all of this assumes that there is a real threat. What you ought not to do is to receive this and then return to your lives as if this is mere religious talk. My dear ones, we live in a very hostile world. And even when we can't see it, there are forces at play that perhaps we haven't even begun to understand. And these forces at play come through the everyday engagements we have in life, whether that be through other people, on the television, on social media, whatever the case might be. But there are false prophets, there are false teachers, there are spirits of the Antichrist that would seek to devour you by deception, that would seek to make you as the bird to the hunter's trap, that would work on the flesh and deceive you, causing you to fall into ruin and misery. And ultimately, the death, not only of the body, but of the soul. So, dear ones, be aware, be vigilant, and cling by faith to Jesus Christ, and rest in Him. And so I'll conclude then with a reading of the truth taught. Though often assailed by false prophets, God's little children may rest in comfort and assurance, knowing that the Spirit who dwells in them is greater than the Spirit at work in the world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for passages of Scripture which communicate to us the reality of the world that we live in. We're thankful that it does not hide from us these realities, but in fact that your Spirit works by your Word to equip us for how to engage in the world. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be prepared to go into the world, that we are prepared to encounter those false prophets with those deceptive messages that would seek to even bring down God's elect. Father, I pray that you would comfort and assure your children this evening. We pray that you would remind us and that your Spirit even now would be bearing witness to our hearts that we belong to you. Father, for those who are in doubt, I pray that you would strengthen them. For those who long to know you better, that you would answer that longing. Father, for those who are fearful of what is going on in the world and afraid to go out into it, I pray that you would give them courage. And Father, above all things, I pray that you would protect them for the sake of your Son's name, and that He who is our great King would conquer all of His and our enemies, and that He would continue to preserve your people all the days of our lives on this earth. And Father, we are thankful because we can be assured that you will do these things. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to go in peace knowing that we are your people, and that He who dwells in us is greater than he who is in the world. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.